Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. I am Sharon Lecter, your host, and I'm very excited about today. I'm bringing on a living legend that has made a huge impact in millions of people's lives, Dr. Ivan Meisner. I'm so thrilled that you're with me. Thank you for being here.
Love the title of your podcast, Living Big. You know, it takes just about as much effort to live small.
That's right.
It does to live big. You might as well live big. I love the title.
Thank you. Ivan is the founder and chief visionary officer. I love that, of the organization called BNI, and it's been around for a long time. And he has impacted millions of people's lives. 76 countries, I believe. Your notes showed over 11,000 chapters. I've had the privilege of speaking at quite a few of your chapters for people as I travel around the world. And it really, everybody watching and listening that is in my community knows how much I talk about the importance of the power of association. And if there's anybody on earth who believes that and lives it and promotes that, that's Dr. Ivan Meisner. So Ivan, thank you so much for being with me today.
You're very kind. Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, it's always fun to be able to introduce somebody that I know has had tremendous impact and really kind of get a little bit of story of the behind the scenes. We're going to talk about your new book, but first share a little bit about, I'll say little Ivan, how did you get into this field of endeavor?
Well, look, I'd like to tell you I had this vision of an international organization with groups all around the world. But the truth is, I needed some referrals for my consulting practice. Now, BNI literally started 39 years ago this week. And so we're 39 years old. And I just needed some.
Happy anniversary. That's great.
Thank you. So, I was looking for referrals for my consulting practice. I put together some people I trusted. They trusted me. And we referred business to each other. Someone came who couldn't join, because we only take one person per professional classification. And she asked if I would help her open up a second group. And I actually said, no, this isn't what I do. I'm a business consultant. I don't run a network. And she said, well, this is kind of consulting. You're helping me build my business. And I said, yeah, okay, fine. So we opened a second group and a couple of people came who couldn't join because of a classification conflict. And they both said, would you help us open up a couple of group? And I said, no, this isn't what I do. I'm a business consultant. They gave the same argument. I said, okay. At the end of a year, we had 20 chapters. 20 chapters. And I wasn't trying. And
the gap found you. You didn't find the gap, right?
Absolutely. It found me. And, I'd had enough education to know the difference between push marketing and pull marketing. Push marketing, you're pushing a rock uphill. Pull marketing, you're being pulled through the marketplace.
Yes.
And I realized I was being pulled through the marketplace. And that's when I sort of had my Brody, what I call my Brody moment. You remember Sheriff Brody in Jaws at the end of the movie?
Yes.
He sees the shark for the first time and he turns to the captain and he says, you're going to need a bigger boat. I realized I was going to need a bigger boat. And that's when I really created the plan to scale the company. I just found out yesterday that last year, 2023, we generated 15 million referrals for our members. We passed 15 million referrals for our members and generated 23.3 billion US dollars in business. And that's based on what members report. Now, just so you know, Sharon, there are almost 100 countries based on United Nations estimates of GDP. There are almost 100 countries in the world with a lower GDP than what BNI generated for its members That blows me away. I never anticipated that when I started the organization 39 years ago.
Well, you became his guide and his grand, you know, godfather, but it really, you know, when you created that opportunity that kind of took on a life of its own and grew itself. And so the impact, I don't know, I doubt there's a business owner out there that has not heard of BNI. And I think it's something to be so proud of. And I'm appreciate the efforts, you know, having written a lot of books and sold a lot of books. I know that, you know, I've made impact around the world, but not you really go beyond that and deep into the ability to support each other. And it really is really a living embodiment of your new book, The Third Paradigm. Tell me a little bit about the evolution, because I love we talk about the first paradigm in your book was competition, the second one moved into cooperation, and then the third one is co-creation, which I absolutely love it. So share a little bit about that for our audience.
Yeah, the third paradigm is exactly as you described, co-creation. And, you know, if you go back to the 1800s, 1900s, it was all about competition. Scientific management, Frederick Taylor, the Galbraiths, the Gants, they were all talking about productivity, put the other guy out of business. It's all about competition. You get to the late 50s, 60s, you start talking about cooperation, theory X, theory Y by McGregor, the idea that people were an important asset to an organization, which today in 2020 is you go, what? Yeah, that's obvious. But in the 60s, that was groundbreaking that you really got to take care of your employees if you want to be successful. And it's about cooperation and MBO, management by objective, where you bring the employees in by Drucker. That was cooperation. But today, I think the focus is transitioning to co-creation. And the best example of co-creation is crowdsourcing. Most people get that. They understand that. However, we believe that you can also, you can implement it into a normal organization. Crowdsourcing is not the only way to establish co-creation, but it is one way.
And I love that. And you actually go into very, you know, very different kinds of the types of co-creation, five ways. And one is the brainstorm, think tank, and then crowdsource, as you mentioned, open source, and mass customization, and then user-generated content. What I love about it is in this new book, you've actually utilized these things to bring in stories from other people. So you're walking the talk and creating the book, right?
That's exactly right. We have a lot of stories from people who've utilized co-creation. And what I think is really important is that we surveyed over 4,000 people. So it's not just our opinions and our philosophy, which is in there, but it's also the opinions of more than 4,000 people about what it takes to create a co-creative environment. And then, of course, interwoven into every chapter is an amazing story about somebody that kind of went through all three phases of that: competition, cooperation, and then co-creation, and had success with the third approach.
So did you have any surprises in writing this book?
There were some things that we absolutely expected that fell under the main drawbacks. I'll come to the surprises, but the main drawbacks we were kind of expecting, which was personality conflicts are a challenge in co-creation, and you got to learn how to deal with that effectively, which includes
those things called egos, right?
that's right. Dealing with egos. So personality conflicts, problems between two people. The second biggest problem was egos, which is one person where their ego enters the room before they do. One of the things that we discovered in we expected those to be issues, but what we didn't expect was a concept in the book that we called barking dogs. That you actually have to allow some barking dogs into the room. Some people who are going to bark, whether they're in the room or not. So you need to let them in the room so that you know what they're barking about. You know what they're upset about. And the barking dogs principle was one of the things that really was a creative concept that was shared in an interview with somebody that we incorporated into the book.
Well, I love, and in writing the book several times, you talk about the power of being quiet and listening. And I think that's such an important thing in today's world from a leadership perspective. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So in the book, one of the strategies that Richard uses Richard is the story that is interwoven into every chapter of the book. People were really mad, really, really, really mad at a project that was failing horribly. And so first Richard had to throw himself on the sword and say, "You're right. This isn't what I promised. Let's see if we can fix it." And then shut up and listen. And so the next strategy was, tell me everything you hate about the platform, an online platform. Tell me everything you hate about it. Don't leave anything out. And the strategy was, listen till they drop. That's the strategy. Listen till they drop. You listen until they're so tired of complaining that they're then open to ideas. And so he listened for 2.5 hours, 2.5 hours as they did body blows. It was like, you know, do you remember ever either seeing or hearing about the Thrilla in Manila, the George Foreman and Muhammad Ali fight, where Foreman just had Ali in a corner and was, you know, just punching him. And Ali was taking the blows, and finally, you know, a Foreman got tired and Ali came out and won. It's sort of like that. You listen until they get so tired of complaining, they're open to ideas that you might have. And let me tell you, Richard had ideas on what he wanted to do, but he knew if he just went in there and said, "Hey, this is, you know, I know I'm really
screwed up." He had to let the air out of the balloon of the anger, right? And the angst. Yeah. Because
that is a great way of putting it, actually. He had to let the anger go out of the balloon. He did. Yeah. And it worked incredibly well.
Well, now, so, you know, people
get the hard thing is to shut up because some of the things that were said were dumb. You know, some of the complaints were like, seriously, that's a complaint. But he had to treat them all equally. So he's like, okay, thank you very much. He put it up on the flip chart. And he ended up having the room completely covered with flip charts, pages of complaints. And he had to treat each one as valid. The valid ones he treated as valid, and the ones that were lame, he treated as valid. Because the next step, his idea was to then create a project board that would triage the list for creation. Triage the list and then find the solutions for the problem. So dealing with the conflict was the first step. The second step was the implementation of co-creation.
And I love that. I think so many times, and I know this is something that I've had to work through throughout my career, is you immediately get defensive and you want to, you know, somebody complains, you want to explain.
Right.
And you have to literally take a step back and allow everybody to vent and get it all out on the table.
Yeah.
Because people want, you know, the number one is people want to know that they've been hurt, right?
They do. And there's actually a martial arts move. And I believe, if I recall right, it's called Tenkan. Which, you know, as somebody is coming at you, you take them in and wrap your arm around them. And in a way, the strategy we're talking about is a Tenkan strategy, is that you embrace them with their anxiety and their anger and calm them down and then focus on the solution. And that's key. And you know, once you have a decision on moving forward, which he got in this meeting, that's just the beginning. That's not the end.
Yeah.
Now comes the tough part of learning what not to do in co-creation and understanding what to do in co-creation. The single most important thing, and it comes up over and over and over again in the book, is that when you're in a co-creative process, you have to make sure that everyone holds the vision, not the obstacles. There are always obstacles.
Love that line. Oh, hold the vision, not the obstacles. So many times people, all they can see are the obstacles. Yeah.
Yeah. And if all you see are the obstacles, you become an expert at obstacles. What you have to do is become an expert on the vision and to hold that vision. And, you know, this applies not just in co-creation, but in almost anything in business, certainly in B&I. you know, people talk about there's a recession and it's hard to grow a chapter, or there's not a recession and business is great and there's a lot of competition and it's hard to grow a chapter, when it's a full moon on a Tuesday and it's hard to grow a chapter, you know, all these reasons. And so I say to my membership, I say, do you think I had problems 39 years ago when I started BNI and people had no idea what this thing was? Do you think there were obstacles? And they're like, yeah, of course. I said, do you think there were obstacles 20 years ago when I was trying to scale the organization globally? Oh yeah, of course. Do you think there were problems during COVID? Were there obstacles then? Oh yeah, big, big obstacles. You think we have obstacles now? They go, yeah. Well, guess what? There's going to be obstacles tomorrow. Mm-hmm. There's always obstacles. Always. The key is to hold the vision, not the obstacles. Once you understand that, then you implement the strategies that we talk about in the book to create co-creation so that everybody is in on the solution to the challenges you have.
Yeah, I talk about turning obstacles into opportunities. Because they're a sign. An obstacle is a sign that you need to look at the greater vision and change your tactics. Get rid of the obstacle, turn it into.
Look, BNI is the perfect example of that, because I needed referrals for my consulting practice. That was the obstacle.
Yeah.
My solution was, well, let's put together a group and maybe these people will refer business to me. And I certainly am happy to refer business to them. Look what it turned into. So obstacles can absolutely be the door to opportunities.
I love that. I love that. So the book came out, I believe, in October of 2023. So it's kind of new. So I'm excited to be able to share it with my community. And I know they can get it on Amazon and probably Barnes and Noble and bookstores.
Yes.
But tell me a little bit about what your vision, let's talk about the vision of the impact of the third paradigm.
Well, I think that this has the opportunity for exposure to a whole different market than just BNI members, particularly universities. I think co-creation is one of the areas that universities are actually ahead of us in business. University professors, many business professors understand the concept of co-creation. And you go to a business person, an entrepreneur, that's new to them, but it's kind of understood and known in universities. And I know this because I'm an adjunct professor as well as an entrepreneur. And so I'd love to see this concept and this material used in a broader sense in universities and in large corporations. Small companies can use it, but large companies desperately need it. And hey, it would be really nice to see politicians use it, but that might be a bridge too far.
Yes. I love at the beginning of the book, you talk about this, you know, the world of civil discourse is gone. You know, Sandra Day O'Connor just passed, and that was her whole, you know, shtick was to teach civil discourse. And she was a pro at it. And then, unfortunately, you don't see too much of it anymore, particularly in the world of politics. So,
yeah. And social media, I think, has made it challenging. You know, it's interesting. I don't talk politics and religion other than in the broadest terms like we are here. But my bachelor's degree is in political science. So, So, you know, I'm certainly engaged in politics. I just don't talk about it much. It's interesting that one of my professors, and we're going back, I think I was a freshman in college, so it'd be like 1975. And he said, true democracy doesn't exist. A true democracy is where everybody has a vote, everybody has a say, everybody's involved. We have a representative democracy in the United States. And I'll never forget, he said, if we ever have a true democracy, there's going to be a lot of chaos.
Yeah.
Isn't that social media?
Yes. Oh my gosh, it truly is.
I mean, he was like way ahead of his time. That was 1975. Social media is chaos because it is true democracy. Everybody can speak up.
I love that. So when we talk about co-creation, which is actually an ongoing issue, if people work together all the time and create things together, and so that brings in intellectual property issues as well as ownership. But What about the world of virtual business now? I mean, it makes it a little harder because I think there's such value, like with your B&I groups, being together, in the same room, eye to eye. We're losing that eye to eye, face to face communication. So how do you see this making that happen again?
Well, I think that horse has left the barn. I wrote an article for Entrepreneur in 2018 that said, I forget the exact title, but it basically said the future of face-to-face is online. And I wrote that in 2018. Now, I didn't see COVID coming, but I did see the technology coming. 3D technology, metaverse, holographic imaging, like Star Wars with the Jedi Knights, and you've got a couple of real Jedis and then a holographic Jedi here or there. And by the way, if we ever get to that point, I want to be Obi-Wan Kenobi. I mean,
Okay.
I got the look, I just need the
You've
hook.
said it here. Everybody knows.
I think it's inevitable. Now, COVID expedited this because we literally had just shy of 10,000 chapters when COVID hit. I think it was 9,800 chapters. And we, within weeks, transitioned almost 10,000 groups from meeting in person every week to online every week.
Right.
Now, since COVID has, for the most part, passed us, we now 68% of our organization has gone back to meeting in person, but 16% meets online, 100%, and 16% meets on hybrid. They meet in person once and online the rest of the month, three or four times, depending on how many weeks in the month. Now, in 2018,
I think that's co-creation at work, is it not?
it is. It is, and the members were highly involved in making that happen. Now, in 2018, if I'd have told you 32% of our organization is not going to be meeting in person every week, you'd have gone, yeah, no, that's not possible. So COVID expedited that, but the technology is what will accelerate it. And I talked about meetings being, having holographic meetings back in 2018 in this article. 2 weeks ago, for the first time, actually, it was just at the end of December. For the first time in the history of the organization, we had a member do a remote presentation holographically.
Oh my gosh, how exciting.
It was in Dubai, and they had a big glass screen that somebody brought in, and she did her 10-minute presentation as a hologram in the meeting. I'm telling you, that's the future. Now, look, I love being in person, shaking hands, looking eye to eye, but the holographic imaging that I'm seeing is so good that I think that's the future. And hybrid is probably the best alternative because it's the best of both worlds.
Absolutely. I love that. And I love the fact that they had the option to create what works for each group. And that's really co-creation at work. So what's the future for Ivan? We've got this new book out and obviously do a lot of teaching, a lot of speaking. What does the future look like?
Well, I think an entrepreneur is either working in their flame or working in their wax. And when they're working in their flame, they're on fire, they're excited, they're passionate about what they're doing. People can hear it in their voice, they can see it in the way they behave. When they're working in their wax, it just takes all their energy away. People can hear that in their voice and they can see that in the way they behave. And I'm working in my flame. This is what I love. Right now, doing interviews, doing presentations, that's my passion. So after 39 years, I've gone from being King Arthur, leading the charge and growing the business, to being Colonel Sanders, where I'm the spokesperson for the
Complete with a
organization.
beard.
Yeah, I've got the beard. All I need is the white suit and the cane, and it'd be perfect. So I want to do more of this. I have no plan to retire. I'm sure it's somewhere in my future. But I've turned the day-to-day operations of the business over to other people, and they're doing a great job. We're one of the few organizations in the world, Sharon, that have 39 years of consecutive growth. That is year on year on
Oh,
year.
that's fantastic.
Recession, no recession, COVID, no COVID. Even during the COVID years, we grew. And I don't know of any other organization that can say they had 39 years of consecutive growth.
That's very
That's
impressive.
the power of networking.
Yeah. And it obviously underlines the fact that when you figure out who you need to listen to, you want somebody that walks the talk, and you certainly do, and you've got the success to prove it. So I'm just honored and thrilled to have you today and to be able to share the new book with my audience. And I think it really is an insight into where the world of business is going. And I have this private Facebook group called the Play Big Movement as well. And so we're going to do another little video with you after we finish this one. So those of you watching and listening, if you are not part of that Facebook group, please join it because we get into a little depth and a little more personal conversation, secrets to success, habits of success, and maybe some of those oops along the way that you had to recover from.
Hey,
But
can I just comment about the personal
yeah, absolutely.
I think that's where the rubber meets the road. So those of you who are listening to this podcast, there's another organization. It's actually a widow organization called Widow We Do Now, which I love the title of that. And I lost my wife about 3 years ago. And I found their podcast to be very, very informative, but it was their private Facebook page. It really, really made a difference. And so I would urge your listeners to go to that private Facebook page and sign up, because it's implementing the things you hear that makes all the difference in the world. One last thing, anyone that wants more information on BNI, they can go to BNI.com. And of course, my website is Ivan Meisner, Meisner, IvanMeisner.com. Everything on IvanMeisner.com is free. It's all free content up there.
And that was going to be my very next question, is how people can find you and connect with you. And I'm sure you're on social media everywhere as well.
Everywhere, yeah.
But definitely go to ivanmeisner.com, and we will put those references into the show notes. And if you have not checked out BNI, you may want to check it out in your local community, because it truly is a gold mine of opportunity to meet other people in your area. And it is true power of association at work. So Ivan, thank you for your time, and thanks for hanging in there with me. The Play Big Movement is all about being number one in your field, living your legacy, because I say your legacy is created with every heart you touch every day, and
Yeah.
creating maximum impact. And certainly you are a true example of all of those. So thank
Thank
you
you.
very much. I'm going to say goodbye to the people right now, the ones that are watching and listening. Thank you for being here with us for this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. I'm Sharon Lecter, your host. Very proud to have the opportunity to speak with Dr. Ivan Meisner today. He's a true, true testament, a living legend. So if you haven't taken notes, rewind, listen again, and then join the private Facebook group. Otherwise, you're fabulous. Go out and have a fantastic day. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much, and have a fabulous day.